who was quite upset that he in particular had been denied the opportunity to work out of his house, but he could look down the hall and find you know, a couple of other people in very similar sorts of jobs that were provided that kind of latitude. So I think that trust, that fairness, that's in some ways not always easy to get your arms around, but certainly it's there and has a significant impact.
And there are often situations in which certain employees, either the work that they are doing or their past performance, demonstrates or creates the kind of trust that allows that to happen. You know, if indeed an employee is not given the flexibility that he or she sees that others are being given, then the employer's responsibility is to communicate why that is. It could be the specific responsibilities that require them to physically be present, and it could very well be that certain employees are not as able to get things done and have not in the past demonstrated that capability and therefore should be present.
Certainly, but you know, I also think, you know, on the other side of that, Mary, you've got in some ways it's not easy to find people that are very good at what they're doing. You know, and we've got some talent shortage, at least to a degree, and you know, to the degree that you're able to accommodate the legitimate work life balance kinds of issues that your employees have and maintain, retain effective employees, then in the long run, everybody's making out.
That's really true. Really true. And of course, that fits right back into recruiting and retention of the highest quality people.
Yeah.
So we see these six elements as critical to creating a good workplace. We also know that creating a good workplace is an art as well as a science,
mm-hmm.
and that it's an iterative process. It's not about putting in place one program to make people happy. It's rather creating a culture and an environment that embodies these elements and works at becoming an engaging workplace.
Mary, you spoke about the six aspects or the six dimensions of a workplace, and I wanted you to talk a little bit about how you assess a workplace and how do you assess a workplace's culture.
We use a couple of number of variable commonly used tools. Most often we'll use an employee opinion survey, which asks a range of questions that gets at these cultural issues. We often will combine those with some focus groups to understand key hot button issues in a particular organization so that we can be certain to measure those, ask the right questions to be able to measure the key issues that are maybe emerging in an organization. Smaller organizations will do a series of focus groups and employee interviews. We use these tools to do some assessment to diagnose what are the issues in a particular workplace. And our assessment really is around these six core elements. So
right.
We ask questions that give us an assessment of these
the trust
elements.
Issue, the communications, et cetera.
Yes.
Yeah. Terrific. Here, I find sometimes, you know, that organizations, you know, either are hesitant to use a survey sort of an approach or actually go ahead and use it and then fall prey to, you know, getting feedback from your employees about what they think and not doing a whole lot about it.
And we recognize that as well and see that one of the places where we can add real value is once that assessment is done, is working with the organization to create action plans to respond to the data and engage employees in that response.
Sure, and I would think that's a terrific value added because otherwise it just becomes an exercise and over a period of time. In fact, if people see that there isn't much response to it, it becomes a negative exercise.
That's exactly right, and that's what we tell prospective clients before we begin an engagement. We're not really interested in doing this assessment process for the sake of the process. We want, if you do this, you need to commit to taking action.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you really have a terrific organization. I'd like our listeners to perhaps know a little bit more about, you know, how you started, how you're funded, What makes you different from other folks that are in this kind of business, et cetera?
We're 5 years old. We were founded by the Lehman family, who were part owners of Felpro. And Chicago people often respond by saying, oh, Felpro, that was a wonderful organization. And it was a wonderful organization. The Felpro owners learned over the 80 years that they owned that business that by creating a good workplace, they had very high customer satisfaction, quality ratings. They were recognized repeatedly as a great workplace in this, the Levering Studies, their early books, and the first Fortune list. They were in Working Mother magazine every year as a great workplace. And they had very low employee turnover. And they were highly profitable. It was a very successful business in the automotive parts industry.
Mm-hmm.
In the late 90s, the family could see that the automotive industry was consolidating and growing global, and in order to be competitive, they would have to change the way they did business, and concluded that it was probably time, as a small to mid-sized privately owned business, it was time to sell to a larger player. And as they did so, they made a commitment to establish Winning Workplaces. They provided seed funding for the first 5 years of Winning Workplaces.
That tells you something about their commitment.
Absolutely. And as they did so, they knew what their experience was, but they weren't certain that the data would show that their experience could be transferred. And that's one of the reasons why we're always looking for good research studies that validate our message that good workplaces are better for people and better for business.
Mm-hmm.
The Winning Workplaces was founded based on a feasibility study that assessed whether or not there was a need for an organization to work in workplace practices and where that need was most acutely felt. And it was determined that the small to mid-sized organizations were both underserved and under-resourced, and that there was lots of research that pointed to this connection between workplace practices and business results, but that research was often hidden away in academic tomes. It needed to be translated into something that regular business people could access easily and put to use.
Mm-hmm.
There were a number of things that these small to mid-sized organization leaders were looking for. That was things like information, help, training, examples, and recognition. And we've modeled Winning Workplaces around the goals that emerged from that feasibility study. And we work, as I mentioned before, in three different areas. We have a clearinghouse of information, our website, which is free to the world, and a monthly e-newsletter. Our website is winningworkplaces.org. I invite all listeners to visit and poke around. There's lots of information there. And subscribe to our monthly e-newsletter. The second area that we work in is recognition, and we're in the midst of collecting nominations for our Best Boss Recognition Project, which we do each year. For the last 3 years, we've partnered with Fortune Small Business Magazine to identify best bosses from across the country, leaders who exemplify or who have created workplaces that use these workplace practices and exemplify good workplaces.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeking nominations. We're looking for leaders of organizations that have been around for 5 years, that are U.S.-based, and one can submit a nomination through our website. So I encourage people to nominate good leaders that you may know of.
Do you find, Mary, that these you know, good bosses have characteristics in common?
Actually, we do. We look at them from a number of different angles. We look to make sure that they've got a healthy business, that it's either growing or stable over a period of time. Then we look at their employee tenure and turnover to determine, from a metric perspective, how are they doing. But then we look at a lot of more qualitative elements. things like investment in the workforce, both in terms of providing basic benefits and providing training, development opportunities for employees. We see that these leaders build strong cultures, and they're able to tell us how they engage their employees in the business, in problem solving, in making the business better. They also, many of them have faced, small businesses are often on the edge of teetering between success and failure, or survival and failure. And they often have very interesting stories of key challenges that they've faced and how their employee engagement helped them get through difficult times, whatever that might look like.
Right. So they've created cultures that get people, get that buy-in, get everybody working toward the same goals.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mary, can you tell us how the judging is done and who is involved in judging?
Yes. It's a couple-step process. We review applications, and then those that become finalists, we do a pretty thorough due diligence process in which we interview lawyers and accountants to make sure that what we see in the application is valid and there aren't legal or financial difficulties that aren't visible to us. Then we talk with customers, employees, a random sample of employees in the organization, and advisors to understand more about what the application, that which is written by the employer, tell us. Our judges include academics, professionals in workplace practices, journalists. We've had editors from Fortune Small Business over the period in which we've done this project, and board members of winning workplaces. So it's a variety of people. Oh, and small business leaders themselves. As a matter of fact, the last couple of years, we've involved honorees in the selection process, former honorees.
And this is an annual process, Mary?
Yes.
So
this is the fourth year that we're doing this project.
Have we had any winners around the Chicagoland area?
Oh, yes, we have. Every year we've had winners. The first year, there were two. Michael Mulqueen from the Greater Chicago Food Depository, executive director there, and we do recognize not-for-profit organizations as well as businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy Finley from K40 Electronics, we're in the first year. The second year, Stephen Baird from Baird & Warner,
sure,
the real estate firm. This last year, two different organizations, Larry Spear and John Nix from a young on telecom, a voice-over internet protocol business called Go2Call, and Greg Whitstock from Aquascape, which is out in the northwest suburbs in McHenry County.
Hmm. I just used Go2Call last week.
Wonderful!
There you go. A small world.
It sounds to me like I'd like to have a stock fund of these 100 best companies. Is there anything like that available, or have I just thought of a great business idea?
Actually, there are such funds. I can't tell you where to find them. I do know that there are fund organizations that have brought together 100 best company.
Wow.
And created funds.
That is an interesting idea. Fantastic. Well, Mary, we're delighted that you're able to join us today. We don't want to take any more of your time. I have found it to be really very interesting and informative, as I'm sure our listeners have. And again, if the website that you can be reached at,
www.winningworkplaces.org.
Right. Anybody has a question around the overall idea of creating winning workplaces, or perhaps a nominee for the Boss of the Year, get in touch with Mary. And again, Mary, thanks a million for being with us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.